He goes mad for those ads. He's got a Trailer Jones.
Hey everybody, welcome to the E3 2019 special episode of Trailer Jones. I'm Brandon Jones and I'm joined by Daniel Bloodworth and Michael Damiani, two gentlemen who I know have been scouring over all of the E3 media that has come out of the show. And it's tricky because I would love to plan a six-hour epic where we just go through a bunch of trailers, but we are only going to do three trailers. And as of right now, as we, you know, these have probably aired, you've already probably seen what we've given the best trailer award to at our official E3 awards. But these three are the trailers that I am still trying to figure out. I still want to get just a little bit of expertise from you gentlemen before we all gather and figure out what the best trailers are. And out of all of the E3 madness, those are the trailer for Deathloop, the premiere also of Ghostwire Tokyo, and a very interesting premiere of the sequel to The Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild. Kicking things off with one of the two brand new IPs coming directly out of the Bethesda press conference, Deathloop. Probably one of, I think, the most stylized and well-conceived ahead of time trailers. Like, I think out of everything we're going to talk about today, and certainly everything that was shown at E3 2019, this one seems to be selling premise, like, more than anything. Like, yeah. Certainly abilities and action sequences, and definitely the world. They're in a very interesting environment in this game. But it's trying to sell you that there definitely is the vibe right away that this game is different. There's something about this game that's very unusual. This game, you know, will definitely have like a twist to it compared to a lot of shooters that you played. Daniel Bloodworth, are they effective in making that seem interesting and really explaining what that is?
Yeah, definitely. I think, as you're saying, right away, I mean, the first clue is just sort of the film grain and grindhouse kind of stylistic effects going on, which isn't there constantly. It isn't always in that mood, in that setting, but every once in a while, they'll just, you know, you'll have this shot, you know, they'll have a kick or a gun show up, and all of a sudden you'll get this, you know, big, bright, bold, flashy background and this trail off of one of the characters. You see the kind of this, like, you see the kind of film dissolve where it, like, melts away. You see things where there's, like, a devil image. So it's interesting because it's got all that going on for it as if it's, you know, something made in the 70s, yet the world doesn't really look like that. It's all really just, it's just adopting that, like, stylistic effect.
So does the style really, is it in service to making you excited about this game, telling you about this game, really selling this game at E3, Damiani?
I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm always down for trailers that sell me on, like, new concepts and do it well. I also like the concept of, like, being kind of, like, caught in, like, this loop, like, seeing yourself, like, die, watching the events play out. But it's kind of interesting how there are certain scenes, like, the opening shot where you see, like, that weird, like, device and, like, the guy washed up on the shore looks, like, way more, like, cold colors. Like, it looks like that's where you go after you die, essentially, is what I feel like. It almost like conjures ascension. And then we get, you know, these shots of, like, where the fights are going down, way more use of color. It's intriguing. I'll give it that. But, I mean, and I like the character designs a lot. Like, I'm going to say that it's nice to see, you know, different types of characters being used. And it is, yeah, I don't know. I'm not usually down for shooters, but I mean, what I'm seeing in this kind of gets me a little excited for the premise, at least, and that, you know, I'd like to see more. You know, obviously it's a CG trailer. I'd definitely like to see some actual gameplay. I personally haven't seen any yet, so it'd be nice to actually see that. Yeah.
We've got this on loop just for reference, and watching it more and more, like, I'm catching on to more things.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like,
definitely.
He is orange and she is blue. Like, throughout, the lighting throughout, like, you see the back and forth with them throughout the whole thing. And, again, that's a good way of setting them up and setting that contrast very literally. But, yeah, I think in terms of knowing what this is about, I think it does a really great job because you see the postcard, you see the object, you see he's washed up on this thing. You know that, like, whatever's happening is very unique to this place. And you really, like, in this quick trailer, you understand like what the stakes are for him, what the stakes are for her, how it can be seen from either one of their perspectives. And I think it really does a great job of settling you into the story and letting you identify with whoever you want.
You bring up an interesting term, Bloodworth, and that's stakes. And that's kind of, I think, might be my problem with one of my issues with the trailer is that I'm certainly interested in this. I think this certainly just stands out automatically, not only in Bethesda, not only among the press conferences, but just E3. You know, when all the dust settled and I look back at what trailers I really thought were interesting and stood out stylistically, this just popped into my mind almost immediately. But if they're persistently kind of coming back, and yeah, they get better at learning kind of the strategies of the other person, sometimes, you know, even playing out the same exact situations, which makes me wonder how much they remember from, you know, like if he did he go to that bar the second time because he knew she was going to be there and he was going to get, you know, the drop on her, or is he just not really remembering a whole lot in between, you know, each of these resurgences? And so ultimately, like, what is the goal here? Are they setting up a fun game environment? In which case, I think it actually sells itself pretty well, where it's like, don't necessarily worry about these two. Their names are in the credits. In the end, it's like starring Corey or Cole or whatever his name is. And so it's like, this isn't, you know, you aren't going to be that guy on top of the cab or that guy in the back of the bar. You are these two people specifically. But if it's just a death loop and they're just going to keep going back without the goal to get out of here or without the goal to get a certain high score or something, it's like, what am I really investing in here emotionally? It, you know, it doesn't have to be anything, but I can't really tell.
Right. I think there is still somewhat left there for speculation. You know, it doesn't spell everything out. But I think that, again, we're just getting the upper level, you know, look at like what is this? And I think it's fine for there still to be mystery about how this is going to work mechanically, what your ultimate goal is going to be.
Yeah, like they have there's one of the shots in the trailer where he's kind of like chilling in like a hallway, and you see like these kind of like chalk black light, like words start appearing back like behind him and all around him. And it's just like, are those kind of like, you know, the memories seeping in? Are those messages from other players? Like, what is that alluding to? And then, yeah, I'm curious about that. And also, I like the back and forth. Like, he loses. And then he sees what happens, and then he finally gets the drop on her, and then she dies, and she comes back, and then it kind of like escalates further and further, and it's just, yeah. What I'm kind of curious, like, is this a thing of like, is it like a sort of a duel, like who wins the most loops, you know, or like, yeah, you know, or who gets the most creative? Like, I'm very curious to see more.
And I love it when we find out more, like, yeah. or when we're waiting to find out more. Like, I'm totally fine with, you know, really just the kind of the purpose of the entire thing being a mystery, but it's just interesting for me because when I try to piece those things together, it just comes up with none of it matters. Like, it's just kind of it's a death loop. But not even that. It's a kind of this like murder theme park where kind of everyone signed up for this. And so, again, when you have all these like Clockwork Orange dudes running around, like, are they in the same situation that our two protagonists are in? Did they also sign up for this where they also, you know, got kind of sucked up from reality and pooped out here? Or did they, you know, find that postcard and they intentionally came here because it's like, you know, if you're a sociopath, why wouldn't you love this? You know, you can just run around and kill people, no consequences all day. And so I wonder, you know, again, not only what are the goals of these protagonists, but how do they differ? Do you get a vibe that these are interesting individuals running around, or are they all, they like fodder for these two people we're following in this trailer?
They definitely feel more like fodder to me. I will be interested to see if there are more named characters, which, you know, I would imagine there would be. I think in terms of like a long-term goal, I think it's clear to see from his perspective that, okay, if he could shut down the thing that causes the loop, then quote-unquote he wins. For her, like, I don't know how she stops him. I don't know what option she has to like keep him from actually doing that in the long term.
So yeah, I'm really interested by it. It's just you know, like I said, when I search for those answers, when I like start to put two and two together, in this I come up with, and maybe it's not that it's not there or that I can't kind of construct a reality or stakes, you know, just personally around what I'm seeing. it's the big question of, am I working too hard? Is that, you know, does, you know, does Arkane and does Bethesda, they're like, wait, no, this is just, we just wanted to add enough to a shooter, you know, to make it different and make it stand out. But, you know, wait until we give you more information, because it's really the systems in this game that are really going to speak to how unusual it is, how different it is. And, you know, something where after a couple rounds of this, we'll go back and watch this trailer and be like, oh, it was all there. You know, they had it all right in front of us. I just couldn't really tell.
Well, and I think another thing to kind of get a good look at is there are a lot of weapons in here. You know, we see shotguns, we see dual pistols.
And abilities, too. We see his arm, her blue running on the wall.
Yeah. So there's a lot of options that I think it's selling. Yeah. So, you know, again, it's all conceptual. It's a CG trailer.
Yeah.
Got no idea what this game looks like or how it plays. Is this first person, third person?
You know,
like, what the heck is it?
Right.
But
we will see. And I would ask you kindly, gentlemen, now to write down your scores on pieces of paper that you don't have that I will produce magically right now. And poof, we have cards. All right, I just want to say one last thing before I reveal my score, and then I will do individually to you, gentlemen. I also want to point out, as is probably evidenced by viewers at home, upon now watching this trailer about 12 times, they give a lot of information in a very short amount of time. This is a very brief trailer. I could go for, of course, you know, a little more stuff to kind of cement specifically how this is going to play. And, of course, ain't nothing wrong with gameplay whenever you want to get me excited about your game. But I couldn't get up to a 9. I stopped it at 8.9 because it is so interesting to me, and I think it is the most stylized trailer that I saw at E3, but I still have just a lot of weird questions, even after this convo. 8.9. What about you, Bloodworth?
I'm going to go with this flat 9. I think it's really well made. Obviously, it's a CG trailer, so we don't get any kind of real hint at gameplay, but there's enough things in there to give some ideas of weapons and abilities, and I think... Yeah, the effects and everything are really well made. I think it makes it a fun and interesting concept, and I think there's a lot going on there in terms of story and style and just ready to see the game next.
Mr. Tomiani, what's it going to be?
So bad. I went a little lower. I went with a 7.
That's good.
Yeah.
Swimming it.
I do love trailers that hide a lot of information with them. And as you go back on each viewing, you find out more and more. There's definitely a lot embedded in here. And I do give it points for, like, the style. I just think it's inconsistent. Like, a lot of the scenes, like, it's just – it happens a lot with CG trailers. It looks flashy and cool. And then when they go to these nice effects, those are, like, the best-looking parts for me. But a lot of it just doesn't feel – like, it sells me on intriguing concepts, but – yeah, I don't know. I just like the raw CG shots. I feel like just don't stand out enough for me. It's not doing anything that I haven't seen done a lot of other times in other trailers, I guess. Yeah.
I'm happy with my score, but yeah, Damiani, you're kind of echoing a lot of the sentiments that I have, and this is always kind of like this doubt that I have in my brain whenever I get really excited about a project just because of a flashy CG trailer, because I wonder, am I doing your work for you? Am I putting more stuff in here that maybe deserves to be put in here? Because this could potentially be disappointing, not in, you know, I'm expecting an exciting game, but we could be, you know, there always is the danger of making it mysterious. And then now we're like, wow, what if, you know, pie in the sky, what if, like, there's crazy progression systems that last forever and I have ultimate opponents that can level up? And they're like, wait, no. It's literally just these two. It's a 1 hour game. You play it 4 or 5 times. It's only $20. That's it. We're like, oh, sorry. We, you know, it's an interesting trailer. We all got really excited. I actually looked for a little bit of information. Apologies if, you know, all of that has been laid out. I actually looked for interviews or kind of more deep dives. And everyone was like, cool trailer. A lot of the headlines that I saw. So very excited to get more information. A collective score of 8.3, bringing it down to a rational, curious, but still waiting for more information level, thanks to Michael Damiani. Another new announcement from the Bethesda press conference with supernatural undertones and fancy transitions. Ghostwire Tokyo, brand new IP. And admittedly, just to start the conversation, one that, like, after that happened, I was like, that might be it, man. That might be the trailer of the show. That trailer was so interesting, and I'm so into that game. Granted, you know, there is a spooky hooded ghost hunting bow wielding character. So this is a lot generally that appeals to me automatically. But... kind of in what we were talking about before, I think this sets up the mysterious and spooky in a way that I almost can get behind a little bit more than the Deathloop's premise, because it's so eerie and supernatural, and it's, you know, by its own admission, it, you know, says that it's very kind of ethereal and spooky, and we're not really sure what's going on, where the characters in Deathloop seem to have much more command over their environment, like they're learning and getting smarter, where I think we almost intentionally want to be left in this trailer not knowing what the heck is going on. Why is this protagonist saved? You know, is this person a part of some, you know, order, or does this person have a master, or is this one person who's just, you know, tired of what those ghosts are doing and heading out and taking the law into their own hands? Also just exciting to have, you know, a brand new IP again, just like Deathloop. Unfortunate that it's all primarily CG. I think more difficult than Deathloop to get a sense of what really this game is going to play like. Although I do get a little bit of a third person. It's Mikami, so I'm just thinking. He's producing it, so I'm thinking third person. I don't know. They're really playing up that protagonist. But has your feeling, I'll start with you, Damiani, has your feeling evolved since you first saw this to now? Are you more or less excited, or is this on your radar?
Yeah, I feel, as we have it on loop here, just again, just blown away by how good the CG looks. It if you're gonna go CG, it needs to look really good. It needs to stand out. And this, there are certain, whether it's just like the lighting they do in there or the shots they chose, there are parts where I swore the environments are real and to just use CG characters, but it's apparently all CG, which is just that's like really impressive. I like when I have to actually guess, you know, whether you have to do that. But conceptually, I'm still very intrigued with what they show in this trailer. Because at first I was like, oh, they're going for like people are vanishing, like it's like the Leftover / like Thanos, you know, and right, people are gone and stuff. But as we get to like the halfway point, we start seeing the supernatural stuff start coming in. It's just like scene after scene of just weird shit that I'm just like, yeah, I want to know more about this. And it's knowing Mikami's reputation, a horror game, it's like this is a little different. It's not like jump scare horror. It's not very, it's not inherently like dark rooms and stuff coming out of like the shadows. This is like in, like it's out in the city. It's like out where you're like lots of people should be, and now even those are gonna be scary. You're gonna be scared. Like, I like that. I like when people try and make you scared in places where you normally would feel safe. I like that a lot.
Is this trailer scary, Daniel Bloodworth?
I don't think the trailer itself is scary. No. Yeah, I similarly, like, even looking at the first couple of shots, it's nuts how good the people look in the CG.
Yeah,
crowds.
It's the Uncanny Valley scary.
Yeah,
how about
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it's but it is weird, like, looking through it over and over again, I definitely feel that there is some level of this that's influenced by the way it was introduced. Like, it's influenced by the fact that, you know, Mikami came out there, and Ikumi came out, and it had a great introduction. And I'm not sure, like, how well the trailer itself is totally selling it. Like, one thing with, you know, people vanish, but their clothes are still there. So, like, if we bring people back, is there just going to be naked people everywhere?
That'll be the least of our problems, Bloodworth.
It's an interesting way of presenting the idea, but it's also pretty weird. And then there's just a lot of things that, like, okay, so we've got our raincoat bow protagonist, and then we've got a bunch of random supernatural looking characters, but it's pretty hard to figure out like how it all connects, and what is it that your role in this actually is? You're hunting. Yeah, hunting down Oni or what. But the transitions that they have, they don't really start till later on. There's only a few of them, but the transitions they have are pretty good. It's a nice way of kind of messing with your mind to see one object and just watch it morph into another.
I always kind of get a Souls vibe from this a little bit, because there's just a lot of like weird creature, weird creature, weird creature. Like, you know, Souls and Bloodborne and Sekiro seem to kind of like revel in the grotesque, you know, just like, look at this thing. You know, there's these really slow reveals, these creepy monsters. And I think that's one of my favorite things when I look back and actually just add up all of the strange creatures that we see. You know, like, and actually one of the first that we see, which I think is the most curious kind of connection the rest are just presented, is like, spooky. And that's... when we see these characters walking down the street, you can see one person on the ground actually kind of fighting against being removed, and then they drop into the earth. And so I wonder if, like, these things are kind of like the agents of destruction, the actual ones going around, like,
right.
maybe not in control, but the ones going around and doing all of this. And
well, it's interesting, too, that they look mostly human, but then you look at their hands and, like, wait, that something's not right there.
Sure. I also kind of get Buffy the Vampire Slayer vibes, kind of like what you were talking about, Damiani, and that, like, we are out in the open. Like, we are seeing, you know, a society that we're, you know, very used to being affected directly by this. And so it makes me wonder almost like, so like this, you know, this guy here is poof gone. Mm. And so you can see the guy actually, I didn't notice that before, like, you know, physically commanding and doing that. So seems like a theft, seems kind of like a soul theft, or almost like they're being teleported into another area. And so I just like that it's not only weird. I think Evil Within almost didn't do that too much, where we would be seeing spooky scenarios. But in this, like, I'm just surprised how many different types of things, because in the end he says, you know, we're going to fight back against this evil. And we see, like, you know, six or seven types of not only characters who could be fighting against, but potentially boss characters or major NPCs, major story plot characters.
Yeah, I wonder if those the first supernatural characters you introduced to, they're carrying the umbrellas. I mean, it's obviously they're obscuring their faces. We can only see, like, their, as you point out, their hands, kind of like disfigured clawy looking, one of them reaching to make someone vanish. But also, like, it's still raining out. Like, is there something about maybe, like, water? Like,
yeah, he's got the raincoat, so he's...
they're making something, like, maybe there's something necessary about, like, water like that. But I also like, besides that point, I like how the latter half of this trailer, to me, it feels like we're seeing that, like, this typical normal world is starting to be overrun by the supernatural and such. The world will transform. One of the shots, you see, like you see the world sort of be, like, kind of falling into that supernatural realm. Things are transforming around you, and maybe, and, like, there's a shot where I think it's the person, the hero, I'm guessing, the protagonist, uses some kind of, like, big, like, burst energy. And is that, like, is that, like, a sensing thing, or is that purging something, or is that, I've cleansed this area and now it's going to return back to normal?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like maybe Tokyo is just going to fall under, like, this supernatural influence, and you're slowly going to have to push back against, like, these supernatural forces. I kind of get that vibe there.
Yeah, I wonder if it's kind of like a resistance, because I definitely get the sense of, like, this is quick. Like, this happened, like, yesterday, and now all of these weird things showed up, and so maybe it's the work of one type of supernatural beast, and then these other things are taking advantage of this apocalypse, or maybe they were there the whole time and we couldn't see them, and so this kind of, you know, like, veil has come down, and then now they're you know, they have power over man, or the ability to terrorize people. I'm curious, that, like, little beast that comes out of the smoke that he's attacking, like, does that just eat people, or what? Like, is everyone in this whole disappearing humans game, or, you know, is that just, like, one piece of all of these different things that you're going to have to fight against? And so I maybe get a vibe with that big AOE that maybe that's, like, you've returned this area to normal maybe for a bit. Like, that's an ability where, like, you know, these things can back off for a second so I can go rescue some people.
Yeah. I mean, to me, that almost feels like some kind of, like, tracking ping, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
You're like, you put out this wave of energy and, like, okay, now you can hone in on where the ghosts or Oni or whatever are.
Yeah, that could also, I mean, obviously, blood. They're literally showing people vanishing, but what if there's points in the game where you can't tell, you kind of alluded to this, the supernatural are among you.
Yeah.
And maybe there are parts where it's like, they're normal-looking humans here, but I know that, like, something like that where you got to, like, track them down and, like, maybe have to resolve the situation without so many casualties. Like, maybe the scenes where everyone's vanishing, it could obviously be a preliminary attack, but what if there are, like, environments you go to where they haven't struck yet, and if you trigger them too soon, they'll start, like, there'll be a lot of casualties and stuff like that. It'd be an interesting concept.
And the bodies are lifting when they see the guy in the demon mask, they're kind of rising up out of the sky, and so again it just suggests a different use or a different like almost like a limbo or a purgatory, you know. It's like maybe these types of things in the afterlife are around us at all times, and then this whatever event this is kind of exposes those things. It's tough because it's very similar to Deathloop, actually, now that I brought two very similar trailers to this episode of Trailer Jones from E3. But that's kind of where I stand with both of these, where I'm just like, so interesting. Is there anything else? Like, do we know anything else? Like, was there anything, you know, they kind of deep dived into? She talked about a little bit on stage. And obviously, like, I think, you know, intentionally, it's kind of nice to sit with weird, like, spooky visions like this and just conceptualize what it could possibly be. But just trying to figure out if it's enough, because I think I like this a little bit more than Deathloop, but just a little bit.
Yeah. It also, there's two shots in here that also make me think there's might be a little bit more. One, and also could just make for like an emotional shot, like to feel a little sympathy. The dog shot, obviously.
Yeah, sure.
Why was, you know, they left the dog alone?
Yeah.
You know, just passed by it, and then in that alleyway, that back alleyway we see earlier, it's kind of like at nighttime later, and there's like a girl.
I think we go to that like three or four.
Yeah,
times,
the girl
actually,
like
yeah.
falls down and starts crying, but everyone else around her is already vanished essentially. Yeah. So why is she okay?
Yeah.
And why did they leave her by? Because in an early shot, you see them walking by someone who somehow survived. They vanish him,
right.
And then it's like, oh. Why was this person left alone? Like, is it, you know, is there something to that, or is it
right.
just meant for dramatic effect? Oh, look, you know, she's going crazy because everyone around her is gone.
It is time to write down our scores, gentlemen. I think again, I like this a little bit more than Deathloop. I think Deathloop has a better style. I think Deathloop communicates what it wants to communicate in a shorter amount of time, which I respect. And I think the script is better. I just think there's more going on here. I think, whereas Deathloop to me introduces a concept, and then by the end of that, the concept's kind of the same. I've learned a little bit more about, you know, how it's going to play out and, you know, some gameplay specifics. But I just think from the moment you get a sense of when people start disappearing, kind of what's going on here, to the end of the trailer where you're like, wait, what really what's going on here with all this extra stuff that they've shown? It gets that slight edge just for me, which is why it gets a 9, even a 9.0. Where are we at, Bloodworth?
I'm a little bit lower. I'm going to go with an 8.2. I think, again, yeah, the CG is really great, and I think it's an interesting concept. I'm just not so sure. I mean, you know, maybe just second guessing myself. I'm just not sure without knowing who's behind this that I would be quite as in for it, you know? And
sure.
I think that's a big influencer to me. Whereas Deathloop, like, I don't even know. You know, like I guess
yeah.
it's Arcane,
yeah,
but
right.
you know, like that doesn't really have any bearing on whether I find that trailer interesting or not.
If this didn't have a bow and arrow, would I be somewhere in the eights? I don't know. I don't know.
I'm not really a fan of the dog shot.
Oh, we
got
you.
That, I think that brings
cheap?
Me down a
is
little
that cheap?
Bit. I think a little cheap.
Oh, okay. Is there a different kind of animal we can leave behind? If he didn't have the leash on him, would that be okay? If he was just a stray?
Maybe. That might be a little bit easier.
Okay.
the dogs. One thing I... Watching again, the bubble I'm seeing, I'm pretty sure lights up lights as it expands.
Yeah, yeah. And I think there definitely is a focus of light. Like, we see it during... it's kind of a foggy day, but we see, you know, day in Tokyo. And, you know, definitely the neon lights are focused on and kind of the difference of having those things on and the different colors they cast on everybody. And certainly the absence, we see the lights go out and people react to that. So, yeah, I wonder if that is kind of a sense of their presence. What is your score, Damiani?
I went with a 8.0, so slightly lower than Bloodworth, although... I would echo some of Bloodworth's sentiments. I think the dog shot is okay, but I think Bloodworth at that point, I think they hang on the people vanishing a little too long.
Mm.
We have plenty of shots, like even just like the first mall shot I think is good, and then like there's like a train shot after. I don't think we need to see anything after that. I think they could have moved on for that. And as intriguing as some of the concepts they're showing in the last kind of like. Forward through, the latter half of the trailer, where we're seeing the mysterious figures appearing in each different shot, mysterious things going on. I kind of wish there was just something a little bit more to time together, because it's just there's so many different concepts being thrown at me, and I just keep throwing out an umbrella work, supernatural, but like
yeah.
it's like I just don't really know what's going on here. So, I mean, if that was the purpose, sure. Like I feel, you know. Like, I'm intrigued, and there's definitely mystery there, but I feel like I could have used just a little bit more to wrap up the last half a little bit better.
Yeah, and I think another thing is, you know, it's a horror game, but I almost feel like our protagonist doesn't really have any sense of risk. Our protagonist is just totally, like, everyone else is gone. I'm going to be the one that fights back. No big deal. I'll just kill these things. Like,
yeah.
I just don't
sure.
see, like, where I'm going to be afraid.
Sure. And yeah, when what are the stakes with this protagonist? Is this a Batman, Nightwing type character, or is this someone kind of like Hellboy, where you know like they're part of this secret organization that knew this was coming? Again, much like Deathloop, it's kind of a question of what else can we, you know, what can we discern from what we're looking at, and maybe what else did we need to know to truly get excited about this trailer? And granted, I am a fan of Shinji Mikami and Bows and Arrows and Horror and Tokyo, and there's a lot here that I like, which it does not surprise me why my score is a little bit higher than you gentlemen, but you bring it down to an average 8.4 which with Deathloop's 8.3 is probably very accurate in terms of where we're all, huh, but also, huh? So we'll see where we're at when we find out more about Ghostwire Tokyo. And finally, to wrap things up, we've talked a lot about this trailer. We talked about it, you know, before their Nintendo Direct happened. We reacted to it while the Nintendo Direct happened. We talked about it after the Nintendo Direct. The next day or the day after that, we came back in our coverage and continued to talk about speculating what this game could be. Damiani, I'm going to ask you a favor to try and not speculate as much as you possibly can. You know, maybe based on clues that are in the trailer, but I want to specifically talk about the tone and construction of this trailer, given that maybe what we quote-unquote know now that we maybe didn't know while we were watching it live, is this Ganon? Is this, you know, before the events or after the events? You know, when did this take place? I got to admit, I'm conflicted about this trailer. I talk a lot about Mario Golf, Animal Crossing, other games that I want to come to Switch that I just have like silly expectations for. But there's no question that the one game I want more than anything, obviously, would be a sequel to Breath of the Wild. Not something that I was expecting to get at this E3, even after this trailer. Not something I'm expecting to get anytime soon. But I am incredibly excited about this, and I think that game is just almost guaranteed to be fantastic. And based on what they show in this trailer, I'm excited, and you know, I will be giving Nintendo my money, and I'll be playing this. So, like, mission accomplished for the trailer, but it just doesn't have the energy, and maybe I'm carrying with this some frustrations that I had from how Breath of the Wild was advertised too, but it just seems weird to kick the whole thing off with this. Just from a trailer, from a scoring perspective, just production values, Damiani, where are you at now?
I think this is a good trailer to go along with the other two we picked, because the recurring theme here is, you know, mysteries embedded within the trailer. And getting,
thank you for picking my theme for me. Let me write that one down.
But they're clearly designed for multiple watches. Like, you want to keep watching them. You want to keep trying to piece together things. I will definitely say that I think because of the nature that this is The Legend of Zelda, it obviously has a lot of people who are invested in trying to like figure out stuff. It already has a giant mythos out there. It already has a large fan base who are going to immediately start trying to do that. But I think beyond trying to like, obviously I'm going to respect your wishes. I don't want to like speculate about anything. I think that's not necessarily important to what this trailer, because I think this is a pretty good trailer for an introduction, especially following Breath of the Wild. It definitely teases a lot of potentially new gameplay concepts. Nothing confirmed, but you see stuff in here. This is almost like the antithesis of Breath of the Wild. Breath of the Wild was like out in the open. We were seeing Link like sailing around, like fighting in wide open fields. Like, it was climbing up walls. That's not here. This is all underground. It's all very dark. It's a definitely a different atmosphere, a different feel to it.
Whatever magic is binding whoever this is to this altar is something that we have not seen before. Like similar to stuff we've seen in previous Zelda games, but not Breath of the Wild.
This music is very, I mean, the audio design for this is like very disturbing, and it's kind of like, it's like, what's going on here? But I mean, just seeing Link and Zelda together, I think, is a pretty good thing, because while they haven't confirmed whether or not you're going to be able to play as anyone other than Link, it's like, oh, that's a question people are asking. Are we going to play together? Why is this everyone calls it an Ordin goat or something, or sorry, the ox-looking thing. Not Ordin goat. Ordin's in a different game. But like, why are there so many supplies on that? Is this a large excavation?
Yes.
Is that a hint of new gameplay? Are we going underground? Is it like there's like a tomb entrance that, like, is that a dungeon? It raises a lot of good gameplay questions, I feel. And I feel it's great, because like, hey, you have to wait for more. Right. We didn't like show you everything at once, because as I said, it's in development. We still need more time before we're ready to fully like blow off the lid on the gameplay for this. So I think this is great, because it's going to get people talking about this forever until the next trailer or piece of media comes out. They're very good at times with the Zelda trailers like that, just putting out just a little bit and getting you excited about
that.
And
I feel bad. Initially, I was like, oh, okay, that was kind of, you know, subdued, I think, for, you know, the project that they're pitching. And then, you know, I'm driving back, and I got, you know, our channel streaming, and you guys are like dissecting this thing and listening to you talking about it. And I'm like, oh, okay, there's a lot more going on here than I first thought when I watched it. Is this trailer enough to announce probably what might be the best game on the Switch, or the sequel to the best game on the Switch, Daniel Bloodworth?
Yeah, because I think, you know, on a broader level, we we know what a sequel to Breath of the Wild pretty much would be, right? Like we have a pretty good idea of like what kind of game this is, what the, you know, essentially the framework could be like, but it's showing us something that is going in a different direction. So it's like it's building on it's something that's building on a foundation very clearly, both in story and in gameplay. And so I think it's really, I think for like for something like this, it's just like it's intentionally a teaser. It's really great because it shows you that there's something there. You know, it's not just that vague Metroid Prime 4 logo. And it's like, hey, guess what? We're making the sequel that you want. And like, well, what is it? You know, at all? Like, this gives you like just a little bit to like hook you in and pull you in. You know, it's a very darker tone. You kind of get this idea of like, you know, the whole like ancient evil going on. As Damiani mentioned, there's this sense that like it is taking them, you know, quite a long time underground to get wherever they're going, you know, whether it's leading to them finding this or whether, you know, these are just other scenes that are kind of not necessarily related. The tone and the pace of the music, it's all like just slow build up and then that, you know, that payoff when you know, finally see the lights shine. And then this crazy weird thing at the end with the castle raising up. It's like, how is this even related? But it reminds you that this is the same world.
Yeah.
That you're not in a completely different timeline.
In places
timeline.
Where you are. I mean, like, if you only saw the first 10 seconds of this, enough to the reveal of these two characters that we're watching, you know, I think people would probably be like, where do we think we are, class? And like, beneath Hyrule Castle? Like, I think that would probably be, you know, at least in like a centered environment, you know, kind of because that's where you know, the Ganon's power emanated from. That's where he was kind of like cackling at you the entire
game.
You
could very easily make a Breath of the Wild sequel that had nothing to do with Breath of the Wild.
Mm-hmm.
But by showing that shot,
this
is definitely Breath of the Wild.
That last shot also is pretty good because the fact that they are saying it is in the same Hyrule, you know, there might be some worry that, oh, or am I literally just going to the same world again the second time? Oh, there's going to be caves and stuff. Cool. But that shot of Hyrule Castle being lifted up, it kind of gives you the sense that there's a possibility that even the surface might undergo transformations. Like, it's not besides the castle, it's not confirming anything like that, but that's something to now actively think about. Whoa, is the terrain going to change? Like, imagine explaining, like, a reformed Hyrule. Like, I think that's a good shot because it definitely establishes that like it's going to be the same, but it's not going to be exactly the same. Things are going to be different this time around, despite us coming back to Hyrule. So, yeah, there was a little bit of a concern I had going into it when I heard the premise, and you know, it's a good shot. It's also like the mystery. It's like, yeah, what is going on? Like the whole, it's not just there. Like the birds fly out from the shot, like closer in the shots. It's like it's rumbling the whole world. Like what could be causing that? Like that's insane. Like something that caused an earthquake on that scale and something. It's, you know, a little intimidating, but
yeah.
At the same time, I will say I do feel like this is. There isn't quite enough, I feel, for the broad appeal for those people who aren't heavily invested in Zelda already. I think it is specifically crafted in mind with people who, A, played Breath of the Wild 1, and B, more specifically, B, are kind of invested in the at least the core lore of Link, Zelda, and potentially Ganon.
Yeah.
That kind of like that trinity there and what this might mean. So all that speculation that we're not doing in this right now, that other people are doing, it's all happening because Nintendo knows that audience. And they're specifically pandering to them with this, like max pandering right here. It's like, all right, unleash your theories. Have fun for like the next 6 months theorizing about this.
Sure.
Because that's like what we intended to do and like mission accomplished.
I think that's why I'm having such a hard time, because I'm still not a huge fan of this trailer. And I am so excited about this game. Like, you could not forget about it. Like, I had to delete something the other day because I was installing something new on my Switch. And that game should have been Breath of the Wild, because when am I going to play Breath of the Wild again? You know, it's like I have so many other things I want to play. I couldn't do it. I couldn't delete Breath of the Wild from my Switch. I love this game so much. And I am kind of mostly underwhelmed by this trailer. And these aren't facts. It's just my dumb opinions. But, like, you know, some issues that I have. One, there's no... It feels like a cutscene. Like, it doesn't feel like a trailer. It feels like, especially when it ends now, when it says, like, in development later, it was like, oh, cool, thanks for showing us this thing you're working on. Like, I'm not even sure if this cutscene's finished, just in the way that it just kind of finishes. They're like, and then this castle thing happens, and then we'll tell you something, you know, later on. Like, it's weird not to see the logo. It's weird not at least for them to just call it Breath of the Wild 2 working title. You know, it's like, because they know that's what we're all going to call it. You know, like, what else are we supposed to call it? Because, you know, obviously it's going to have a completely different name from Breath of the Wild. The music is weird because, was it Skyward Sword that did the theme backwards?
Yeah, they did. Well, it's, I mean, just, not exactly, but...
Yeah, there have been
or doctored the theme.
Games. There's
yes.
been like Zelda theme yeah. backwards.
And when yeah. that's done before, that in and of itself creates an interesting theme. And so it's a kind of thing where you're like, oh, that's a fun theme. Then you think later, wait a minute, like, you know, like the fans play it back and dig for clues. And wait, we actually found out that that thing that you might not have realized is being used subversively actually has more a deeper meaning to it. This to me is like very clearly backwards. It's like, very, it's like right. no, you're going to want to play this backwards and figure out what's going on. And it's, you talked about a build, Bloodworth, that I don't really feel like when they discover this, you know, we see this character right away, and that's kind of intercut with them traveling. And so I'm kind of introduced to the thing that they're going to discover and the fact that they're traveling right away. So them getting closer to it and them drinking, you know, by the, you know, this little lake or something, and them discovering it and getting closer. Like, these aren't really ramping up the intensity of the scene because I'm already kind of there. Like, if you show me Link and Zelda and something at the end of a dark cave, I'm probably going to deduce that they're going to find it and unlock it, and it's going to be the villain in this game, and then things are going to be bad. And so I don't know. I guess it just the way it's structured, the way it actually, like, there's no voiceover from Zelda, like, maybe just giving me, like, just 8 words of context. I just need, like, just one extra thing. It has nothing to do with getting me excited about playing this game. It has nothing to do, like you were saying, Damiani, about making Zelda fans happy. It's just kind of... And maybe this is just me being traditional, just kind of like a traditional trailer setup as opposed to us getting an advanced look at whatever the game intro is going to be for Breath of the Wild. This might not be in the game. This might be something actually, and that would be very interesting if the later stuff that we see kind of, you know, assumes that we have seen this, you know. And certainly they jump around in cuts to show that there is a longer version of this, specifically the floor giving out, I think, is one of the most interesting shots of like, uh-oh, I wonder, if this leads to a much, you know, deeper chasm. And it pains me to say it. I just that there's like a, you know, I think there's a little version of me on both shoulders being like, you idiot, why aren't you excited about this? It's new Breath of the Wild. It's your problem. But it's just kind of subdued, I guess. The energy is low. And so what I'm looking at is big, but just kind of the pace of the whole thing is very much like, you know,
it's a
I guess I was just expecting more da-da-da-da at the end. Oh, my God. Legend of Zelda. And the logo. Da-da. Oh, the Zelda. And the ending of the trailer is just kind of like, whoa. You know, just what it doesn't. And again, maybe I'm spoiled also just by the way Zelda trailers typically go. And maybe some of the last trailers we saw for Breath of the Wild. At least it wasn't like, you know, a couple of guys in some white conference room like being like, hey, where are you? This is the Switch controller. Look, I'm on a horse. Like, right. This is better than that, so I can't complain. But
yeah, I mean, I think that's an interesting choice as well. And it's one thing I definitely will dock it is there's not a period at the end of that sentence. But
it's stupid things like that. But, like,
but it's interesting to me that it's almost like I don't know, like underselling in a way. Like we know that that's what this is, right? We know that this is the sequel to Breath of the Wild. But it's just like, hey. We're working on this, you know, rather than, oh, let's just put up a generic Zelda logo or let's put up, you know, let's give you the name now. It's like, no, we're still sorting out what this actually is. But this is the tone. This is the direction. And this is some of the things that you can expect.
I just don't like what it does for my anticipation. It just kind of again, it's just the energy at the end where they're just like, don't get too excited, you know, because we're working on it. We'll figure it out later and we'll give you news later. Just seems like, I don't know, that was a pretty long cutscene. I think you're good. I think it seems like you've pretty much nailed down your concept and you're off to the races.
I definitely don't
like
think
what,
it's just a straight cutscene. Like, yeah, it's certainly, yeah. Again, as you said, it's intercut. It's showing us a lot of different things at once.
Right, let's write down those scores. And again, I fully accept any and all criticisms that I am missing the boat on just kind of what this means, not only for Breath of the Wild, but for the Zelda series. As a whole, all right. I still would love. I think, let me just like just one thing. I think that I would love to see, because that's another thing is like there's no, not layers, but there's not like an act one, act two, act three to this trailer. Just all kind of like they're approaching a spooky thing. That spooky thing got spookier. We're working on this game. I would have loved some kind of like a shift in music and sound, in presentation, in the presence of literally them discovering it, of when we actually get to this area and Link's about to touch it. Maybe just some kind of where the trailer like takes a breath before he actually like grabs it, you know, and like it just all just kind of like drones into that moment. And so that's why it just kind of lacks a little bit of energy for me. 8.4, which breaks my heart because, man, I'm so unbelievably excited for this game. Just, let's bring it up.
Yeah, I'm a little bit higher. I'm at 8.6.
Oh, okay.
I actually think it's a really good tease. I mean, obviously, it's one of those things that like really can get you talking and thinking about what all this could mean. I do think that no matter what, it gives you a darker tone. Than
I definitely get that.
Yeah,
I definitely get that.
Before.
Yeah, yeah.
And I definitely like the. That build up and just the things that they leave hanging as questions that you know are not going to be answered probably till next E3.
Damien,
8.0.
Oh!
So, I mean, the biggest reason I can... It's a good teaser, but it doesn't come anywhere. And I think it's also because of the nature of teasers. I think it's harder to make a teaser as great as a full-blown trailer. And thinking back to that January 2017 trailer, the one with that music, the full like reveal of everything, the release date for Breath of the Wild, that was like not only the best Zelda trailer ever made. That was like people still love that trailer. Yeah. I still love that trailer to today. And unfortunately, you can't get to that range of emotion and that kind of like those punches that you keep like hitting in there until you've shown off more of the game and have like weaving in gameplay and like a little
sure,
bit more investment.
Of course.
So I think that's how I'm holding that against it because, you know, that's Nintendo's choice. They want to keep this more of a secret till later. So be it. There's only so much you could work with. So it's pretty good here. I do absolutely love the amount of like things they've put in there. There's a lot of love and care in terms of like acknowledging lore. There's symbols. There's the Gerudo text. They use the Gerudo, the revised Gerudo symbol in there as well. They're clearly there's all like I forget what they're called, the stones, the luminous stones or whatever from the first game. Mm. There's a whole bunch of actual like relevant, important stuff put in there that is carried over. But I do think a lot of it almost gets so granular that it appeals to very more passionate Zelda fans and like a broader audience. And we've all talked about it, alludes to a lot of different elements and possibilities there. It's just, it doesn't confirm one way or another some things I would like to know for sure. And I if that's a bias against this, I apologize, but you know, that's me. Like I just want them to rip off the band-aid, say like, cause there's so, like, I'm not going to say the speculation Jones, but there are people out there have like these crazy theories about how this ties to everything, like older games. And like they've come out and say like the last game has nothing to do with any older games. It's like,
well, Twilight Princess was ambiguous. A huge one because again all the little green squirrelies.
My absolute like
those are green squirrelies.
The thing that I'm dreading right now, Jones, is all that was BS and misdirection because this game saying that would give away like a title would give away too much about this game.
Of course,
saying where Breath of the Wild takes place in the timeline would give away too much about this game.
Sure,
that is like I do not want that to happen. Like I want this to be like, no, we made a clean break. This is gonna be like. I'm excited about the possibility of that. We're going to create whole new lore for you. This teases so much new lore that can be original, and that makes me really excited to see them take a new take. The complete flip side of that, and my dread, is that, no, we're going to weave this all back in the old stuff. I'm like, no. I'll be so hard. I'm like, no, I'm done with this. Like, please.
I will have to have you on the next time we talk about this game. What is it, 6 months, you said? No, that doesn't seem that far.
I bet we see more... like the Game Awards? I bet Keeley snags a trailer for this. I bet Keeley gets something for this.
Damiani bringing it down to an 8.3. An 8.3, 8.4, 8.3. Those were our scores today, gents. I'm sorry, I didn't bring the heavy hitters. We're not talking about Final Fantasy VII Remake. Yeah, we're not talking about Cyberpunk. Remake. Obviously, those two trailers are incredible.
Didn't bring Banjo.
Cyberpunk's weird because it's almost more like just a slice of the game
rather
than the one they had last year, which I think was a lot better.
So those trailers that we mentioned are also pretty darn good. Of course, Banjo and Smash Brothers was a huge deal. Dragon Quest and Smash Brothers was also very fun.
Oh, yeah, that's a good trailer, too.
And it was, you know, I don't know a ton about Dragon Quest, but at least I was like, well, I know those other characters, at least. Final Fantasy VII Remake, tough to really, like, nail down what trailer. You know, specifically the Square Enix trailer, I think, you know, kind of, like, took, because it was almost like a director's cut of the concert trailer,
Just a little bit more. The one has Tifa's redesign.
If you only need to watch one trailer, that's the one from Square Enix press conference. That's the one you need to watch. Of course, the Keanu and Cyberpunk, which it's tough to, like, I thought, because we're going to be talking about the trailers tonight, I, like, looked at myself long and hard in the mirror and was like, why are you excited about Keanu Reeves? Like, why? You know, like, you can't just say you are. You have to have a reason. You know, so it's like putting words to Keanu. It's tough. You know, it's like describing colors. But hopefully we'll do a good job of that tonight.
I think, of course, the utter unexpectedness of it. Yeah.
Yeah. But he fits that world, fits that character. It's fun to know his character now and then go back and watch that. And it's not just Keanu being like, wink, I'm in the game. You know, it's Silverhand being like, come on, man, we gotta, you know, he appeared that way multiple times during the demo that we saw. But some other fun trailers that I want to talk about very quickly. Of course, I got a big old list because it's right after E3. 12 minutes. Great. Interesting first look at this game.
Cool.
I think one of those things that we were talking a lot about mystery today, and there's definitely some mysterious parts there, but we see enough, and I think does have a great moment at the end, obviously, got to go back and do that over. Baldur's Gate 3, it was short, it was brief.
Oh, yeah.
This guy's face rips open and becomes a mind flayer. Have you seen this,
Tommy? Yeah.
But I think it would be so typical. And I think a safe play to have a Baldur's Gate trailer kind of being like one of the most revered franchises of all times in role playing. You know, oh, great. You know, it's like, you know, capturing the best parts of D&D, you know, fifth edition, you know, but like, no, this dude dies and becomes a mind flayer. What? You know, like, is this going to be a protagonist? Is he going to be in the story? Is this, you kind of echoed it all in the stories that have been told so far in fifth edition? Like, does this continue anything that happened in Baldur's Gate 2? Like, what a weird thing to do. So, like, probably, you know, not something I wanted to talk about today or score or anything, and not one of the best trailers I saw at E3, but so strange, and I appreciate it for that. Also super strange and a bummer that it's not really one of, like, the top trailers we're talking about, but Elden Ring was sweet. You know, that was very spooky and weird and, you know, had characters, you know, chiseling, you know, rings when their shoulders are falling apart and people are attaching limbs on, and some very fascinating character design. Yeah?
I was expecting a little more out of it.
A little more? We're not scoring it. We're not nominating it.
I think Elden Ring in particular, I would have liked to have seen some kind of gameplay shot.
Elder Scrolls Online spent a heck of a lot of money, more than Elden Ring did. Elder Scrolls bringing it. Apologies, there's no. The 14 trailers were mostly gameplay,
already,
right?
They didn't really release a story trailer. But like that, if you don't play the game, it doesn't. Like the CG one's the one
that was before.
And that's already been done.
Elder Scrolls Online, always appreciate you spending that much money. Loving those cinematics. Fall Guys, I really dug. Remember Fall Guys?
This was like
Battle Royale, but the game show version of it.
Yeah.
Playing, you know, jump in the line with all of them, like running through, like that trailer put a smile on my face every single time I see it. I don't think it, makes me as interested in some of these other projects, but I think that was a perfect way to sell that. Freedom Finger, I really did. This is a shmup where you're a finger and you're grabbing things.
I
like it because I want to give Freedom Finger lip service, because sometimes I get the vibe where a game knows it's an indie game and it's just like, guys, let's just crank it. Let's literally just make this trailer so loud, so quick, so intense, so that if you're into it, you're rocking out. If you're not into it, we're not going to take too much of your time. And I just really like, I think the vibe of that trailer is executed perfectly. I think that was just the right amount of intensity, Freedom Finger developers. So congrats on that. Halo Infinite had a nice emotional trailer, introduced to a new character. Again, just kind of how I felt.
Definitely want more out of that.
Yeah, it's kind of where you were at with Elden Ring, where I'm like,
That was a shift backward for me.
But it's interesting. But it's weird because, you know, it's not something where it's like, wow, it's surprising we didn't see gameplay. But we started there with Infinite. You know, they show us the engine, they show us this world, they show this that, like, this is going to be one of the prettiest games you've seen on Xbox. So it didn't surprise me, you know, as we got into the story trailer, I was like, oh, they're going to tell a story. They want us to care more about these characters, especially since I wonder if that was like the anti-lock where they, like, like start Halo 5 with Locke. They're like, you're going to love this guy. And like not a lot of people were into that campaign story. Whereas in this, they're like, you got to love this guy. He's away from his family, stuck on the spaceship. You know, he rebooted Master Chief. Like it just seemed like a lot of efforts in that trailer to be like this character. Yeah, it's depending on where you're at with the Halo franchise. I'm sure there's moods all around for that. Yes, thank you very much. I will give lip service to Microsoft Flight Simulator. I love that trailer.
Yes.
Yeah. I love that trailer.
Put away.
I went back and watched it again. I got emotional. Like, I got my heart swelled. You know, I was like, okay, I just want to watch it again just to make sure I'm not crazy because I can at least mention an honorable mention. But I was like, Flight Simulator? I don't know. And I thank you to a lot of people who, just to make sure I didn't miss anything, created edits already of like my favorite trailers from E3. And this popped up in a couple of those that I saw on YouTube. So I was happy that the people dug that. And when you really think about another trailer I won't mention specifically, but Lego coming to Forza, like you think about, okay, I'm in the marketing. I'm given this material. What do I do? You're given Flight Simulator. I think that's about as good as you can do with Flight Simulator to really sell what this is, why it's not Flight Simulator 2020, like why it actually is just the franchise.
Well, I mean,
franchise, a reboot of sorts.
Yeah, like, franchise has been kind of away for a while too. So it's just nice to see it come back in such a great looking way.
Mentioning that it's running on, you know, actual like GPS data and just picking the right interiors, the right shots. I think it has a great pace to it. It has a moment where it takes a breath, unlike that Zelda trailer. Sky Children of the Light is the next game from that game company. So the Journey people making a very Journey-esque game.
Was that in
your little feathered
kind of funny showcase?
I don't know if it made it into any showcase. I think I saw that separately. You're a little.
Oh, okay.
You got wings and you're flying around and it's just got a great. This is almost like kind of a genre in itself. Like interesting, colorful indie game with an interesting control mechanic, an interesting world that they want you to explore. It's kind of tough to like find the right pace. Look at like Greece, for example. You know, like that had a really great introduction to that world's perfect length. So you understand it. You wonder what's going on. You want to see more. I thought this did a really great job. The ending kind of didn't hit the landing 100%, but Summer Catchers was one, I believe, that was either in the PC Gaming Show or I think it might have been in the Kind of Funny Showcase. And this was like a buggy game where you're just like riding along on a buggy. And the trailer starts out with like a dude in a bush just walking up to somebody who's building the buggy. And then the buggy starts and then the person is just riding out in the countryside, just jumping up and down. Huge, crazy monsters are walking around in the background. And I just, after watching it a couple times, I was like, that's escalation right there. Good job. It starts literally with the bush snoring and somebody like, huh? And it comes out of the bush and then ends with like just riding along in this crazy buggy. So diverting some expectations there. I appreciate it. And it seems like this is a game that people were talking about before, but we got our first look at Superliminal, which was also, I believe, in the showcase. And again, just given what they have, a great introduction to the world. Yeah. Almost kind of reminded me of something like a Stanley Parable without the VO. And it drags in a couple parts, but I think just not only shows you just enough for you to understand the game, but if you really kind of take apart what we're seeing in what order, you couldn't just take those gameplay clips and jumble them around. Like they're placed really perfectly to introduce these elements of like, oh, I kind of understand that. And then we go out of the PC that we're even looking at and YouTube's running and then they grab the monitor and drop it. And then like, you know, later on we're grabbing like a house and walking inside of it after moving it around. And so, I think it's tricky because sometimes I might seem nitpicky when I like this one indie trailer over another indie trailer, but it really is a fine line with like how much you show a game versus like how something can drag on or you don't show enough. Phew, lots of E3 trailers. Those were my favorites. I want to know yours. Of course, you can leave comments. You can reach out to us on patreon.com/easyallies, or you can follow me and DM me at trailerjones. I asked during the show what everybody's favorite trailers were, and thanks to everybody who sent me some fun. If you sent one to me and I did mention it, I'm sorry. I thought it was okay. You know. But some people were like, definitely this one. And I'm like, I'm happy you're excited about that game. But that trailer is only okay because, man, there are so many amazing trailers every E3, which is why this Trailer Jones is a little early. We usually get these episodes up at the end of the month. But we will be back in the month of July to look back at July and a little bit of June to see what the best trailers of this summer are. Thank you, Michael Damiani, and thank you, Daniel Bloodworth, for joining me. No easy task of scoring big, important, massive E3 trailers. And we'll see you next episode.